Dylan Butler hanging out with us to start hour number two. And since it is a Wall Pass Wednesday, Dylan, we were going down all sorts of rabbit holes this morning. Have you heard about Skittlebrow?
I think so. I think I saw something about this.
Yes, it was Jillian posted it on her Twitter account.
Yes, that's where I saw it. Correct.
And apparently it is a thing. It is a 20-year-old thing.
Wow.
Where you put Skittles in the bottom of your beer. I was instantly sickened.
No.
And I was trying to sit here and go, why? I mean, I get it. I mean, I know that there are craft beers that have different kinds of flavors. And maybe this particular gentleman is trying to figure out, you know, maybe I want the taste of Skittles in whatever beer I paid $14 to partake in at Allianz Field. But I have never seen it before. That was instantly repulsed. I didn't know if you had seen it about anything close to that. Anything?
No, not at all. I think back in my college days, the only thing that I mixed with a beer was just like, what's the terminology? You put the shot into the beer and then you got to chug it.
Is it the car bomb?
Yes, the Irish car bomb. That's the only thing I did there, but I mean, there were no Skittles involved.
No.
Not before or after.
No.
During. No.
Yeah. So the Irish car bomb. Yeah. So that was the only thing that I thought. This was like the candied version of an Irish car bomb, where you throw Skittles in the bottom of a $14 beer and then drink the beer. And I mean, my teeth hurt.
Yeah. No. That
thing, man. But no, we brought that to the floor this morning. You know, we were talking about.
I can't imagine there were too many yays with that one.
No, there were not. No, but we did try to come up with. We did go down the craft beer rabbit hole about how a lot of enterprising business folks here in this country are creating beers with different flavors and things like that, to where the beer of today is not the beer of when I was back in college back in the 1780s, where it literally was. Bush Light Draft.
Maybe you wanted to get a little bit, really wild. You go with a Löwenbräu.
Yeah. Moosehead, Schaefer, all of those. Literally.
Natty Ice.
Yes. Yeah. All of those. And so that was the extent of what it was like.
When I was a freshman in college, the beer. Or it's not even a beer, it's a drink, but it was like the craze, man. It was crazy. Was Zima. Remember Zima?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that was the ish back then.
Well, yeah, and for me it was Bartles and James.
Yeah, okay. Nice.
And so yeah, thank you for your support, you know. That was what it was like for me. It was Bartles and James and trying to find different flavors and things like that, because the original one just tasted like white wine, and I wasn't a white wine guy, and it was a little spritzy, and so give me something with flavor to it. And so yeah, I was a Bartles and James guy in college.
Yeah, we did a little bit. The establishment by St. John's that I would occasionally go to would put some grenadine in with the Zima, so it gave it a little bit of a different, yeah. But that lasted a hot. Was it even a full year with Zima? I'm not even sure.
Yeah, it was, because you had the ad campaign. The ad campaign worked its way through, and then it was a year.
Yeah.
So nothing like alcohol down here to start things off on your Wall Pass Wednesday. When you look back, I guess overarching from what happened this past weekend in Major League Soccer, what stuck out to you?
It's got to be St. Louis, right?
Yeah.
It's got to be St. Louis, you know. Like you're a hater, but
I am.
It's remarkable stuff. I mean, and it's not even like in the last two results too. I mean, look. Granted, they're not playing LAFC in Seattle, but just smoking teams, right? Like 3-0 at home, 4-0 at RSL. At the former Rio Tinto, which I still, that's gotta be the name, man. Mm-hmm. Like, come on. It's not the America first, something like that is always to me.
Oh, yeah.
That is always to me going to be.
It's the riot.
Yeah, 100%.
It's the absolute riot. And I mean, I am, like I said, I'm not, I'm going to go ahead and qualify my statement on St. Louis City SC. Great that you're out of the blocks doing what you're doing. Great. Fantastic. Love it. Your stadium's disappointingly too small. you need to be closer to 30 than not 22. But the fact that I think, what is it, three matches in a row, you've had an awful giveaway that has resulted in a goal of the goals that you have scored. I mean, obviously there's been a league mandate from the office in New York City that this has to happen at least once in a match for St. Louis City SC. But for me, like I said, I'm looking at this like the kid from AAA that got called up from, called up to the majors because he was hitting 360 in AAA and he was crushing it and you had no choice. First time through the majors, they don't have a book on him and he's hitting everything all over the place and they're thinking, oh, rookie of the year candidate. Oh, great. You know, and then second time through in the league, everybody realizes you pitch him low and away and he's going to go fishing for it and he comes back down to earth. That's what I'm anticipating with St. Louis. Whatever you do here gets you out to that hot start. Your, you know, flight 500 is cleared for takeoff and it's going to get back to Lambert and you're okay. But I think that second time through the lineup, because of what Bradley Carnell wants with his system, I think the summer is going to be a problem because you want to run around in that heat in St. Louis in the summer with the system that they've got right now. Unless you tweak things to where you're not running around as much, second time through the league, all these kinds of things. I think they come back down to earth, but I'm not going to deny that this start is amazing for them.
Now that said, too, by the way, obviously with the change in times, I mean, they're not playing at 2 o'clock on a Saturday in St. Louis, you know, yeah. So they are playing at night, that which will cool things off a little bit at least. But I hear you. I mean, listen, you know, you can. I'm not saying they're going to win MLS Cup, but just enjoying this ride. Like, it's so much fun. Different heroes. And then Joao Klaus with maybe the greatest quote to start this season, where I think I saw the whole quote today. So it was more, I think he said it's a Brazilian saying. He's like, we say in Brazil, as he's talking about taking on a defender. Mm-hmm. He said, either my mother's going to cry or your mother's going to cry. And I don't like my mother to cry. So,
and yeah, I mean, you're seeing from Klaus and Lewin and Roman Berkey has been a find for fantasy leagues all over the place.
Join the fantasy league of soccer down here. If you haven't, listeners and viewers, if you haven't done that, go join the fantasy league.
But, I mean, Berkey's been a find in net. You spend that money on a DP, that's what you anticipate, and that's what you expect from a guy like that. But, no, I mean, I give them full credit. I just think that they come back down to earth after a while because of how the system is and because of the demands on it.
That's the question, though, isn't it, right? Like, John, like, what's the – like, you're talking about them coming down to earth.
Uh-huh.
Like, where are they? Like, I mean, they're not – look, they're top of the table right now. They're not going to win the Supporters Shield.
Right.
Right? I'll go ahead and say that now. But where are they for you? You know, are they clawing for a playoff spot? Did they accumulate enough points early on to secure that spot? Are they a top three team in the West?
I think that's the one. I think that they put so many points in the bank early. And they've got this 5-point lead right now and everybody else in the West. I think that they're in the playoffs. And I think somebody is going to go home disappointed because, I mean, there were a lot of folks that had St. Louis DAL in the Western Conference.
Sure.
You know, and I was one of them. I will say it. But, you know.
Listen, I thought I had that, you know, I had the Timbers maybe making a push. They make a record signing with Evander. And, you know, they've continued to be crushed by injuries, continue this week too. We saw that. So yeah, I mean, you're right. There's going to be a team that we are used to seeing in the playoffs not make the playoffs because of St. Louis's push there.
And it's going to be crazy with who that individual is with what we're seeing. I mean, since we're out West, we'll talk out West. I don't know what it is about the early kickoff in Major League Soccer. When you have it, when your secondary broadcast partner does something that's not in the 7:30 window, right now these games are turning into goalless draws. They could be exciting goalless draws, but I can't think of a goal that has been scored in these early games with your secondary TV partners yet.
There is nothing exciting. Actually, there was one thing exciting about it is when you had to have a field player come in and try to be the keeper at the end, channeling, Eddie Gavin and Mike
McGee. There you go.
And the like. But other than that, no, that was one that's best just to be forgotten, I think.
That was a game where everybody seemed to need the caffeinated beverage and didn't get it.
Dude, that was literally okay. So I was on for that one for MLS. And
you're going, what am I writing about?
No, thankfully I didn't have to write anything about it. But then I'm on for the rest of the night, and I think it was at halftime. I was like, I gotta get the coffee fired up again, because it's just not. I can't have this for the first match.
Jordan Morris scores 4.
Yeah.
For Seattle, does that speak more about Seattle or more about Kansas City?
I think a little bit of both. I think certainly a lot of credit has to go to Morris, where, in this case, because of your injuries at the number 9 position, he's got to play out of position and be the 9. And he just goes off. Obviously his first ever 4-goal match in MLS. But for sure, I think it speaks about SKC as well. I didn't have them above the playoff line to start the season. They're certainly not looking like they're going to get there. And again, you can harp on the injuries. It's not like I was giving SKC some credit, I think, early in the season because of the injuries and being unlucky. That's a bad result, certainly for them. So I think it's both. I think the Golden Boot race could be interesting this year. Also because of who stays. He's going to stay, I think for him, unfortunately, when he got injured on that loan bid a couple of years ago, I think that was his chance, right? Like to play overseas. I think he's kind of come to peace with the fact, he's an MLS player. There's nothing wrong with that. Obviously he's a homegrown guy. He's a hero in Seattle. And that's where he's going to be. But, Almada, you got to figure he scores the goal for Argentina, and it's kind of like, the Vegas slot machine sound, like with all like there goes the transfer fee coming up again. Yeah. So.
We talked about this in hour number one that Miguel Almiron, he's got the Rangers mug today. Miguel Almiron, as we it's get close. Well, I was going to say, when we get into the playoffs, we will discuss the best postseason known to mankind, Stanley Cup playoffs. We talked about Miguel Almiron going for $27 million. And everybody's thinking just in the Twitch pitch and on the timeline, okay, Garth picks up the phone at 30. But realistically, what are we talking about here? This is the thing, because – the article came out in Forbes that said Thiago Almada increased his value by not even playing on Saturday, and it goes into the time, it goes into the headline past that, and it not being a part of the Atlanta United roster. But when you score a goal for country off of a Lionel Messi free kick, and it comes out that Lionel Messi wanted you as a part of the roster because he appreciated where you were coming from and going to as a soccer player, you have a $27 million marker. You have Thiago Almada winning a world championship. You have the endorsement of the best player in the world I'm team Messi. I'm not TR. I'm not team CR38.
Same here.
You have all of these different endorsement levels happening here. And yeah, it is hitting the cash. And it's like the old cash register sound, you know, where you hit the buttons and you hear the price go and you hear the ching ching and you hit it again. Ching ching. I mean, you got to be looking at 35, don't you?
Yeah, I was almost going to say 40 at this point.
Well, I'm sure. And then what that does is it gives Atlanta United the chance to chase after the next unicorn.
You know what, too? You wonder, you know, and here's an interesting part of this conversation. So how much does – and listen, scouts find a way regardless to see what you're doing and how you're doing, and obviously they do it in person as well. But how much does the – worldwide ability to watch these games on Apple TV help, you know, in you know, now this is a free look. You could look at him every match, you know, you could watch back the match. Like, so I think it even helps increase his value.
And I mean, yeah, 35 to 40, I think, is what you're staring at. And then the question is, and I know that a lot of Atlanta United fans are going earmuffs probably for the remainder of this question, is the when. Is it in the summer window? Can you wait until the end of the year, possibly get a loan back or what have you, or something like that? You know, if Atlanta is chasing after a home playoff match, which is what Garth Lagerwey wants this season. You know, bringing in that next unicorn, sending Thiago Almada on his way, you have all of these different timetables that you're kind of staring at here, trying to juggle that notion of the win and not necessarily the because in all.
Yeah, I think, listen, when you're talking about those kind of numbers and the impact that player can have, that's an immediate, that's a summer transfer window. Like, it's not like Matt Turner goes to Arsenal. We know he's not starting for Arsenal. So yeah, like a loan back is fine. Let him finish the season with the Revs kind of thing. That's, you know, I think that works maybe with players who aren't necessarily fitting right into a team's plans. If you're paying upwards of 35 to 40 million for a guy, you want him to be part of that group. Like, you want him to be in your preseason and ready for the start of your season in Europe, or, you know. So yeah, I don't think I think he's a summer window and an immediate leave, unfortunately, for Atlanta fans.
No doubt. I mean, so this is what you do. You sit there, and much like St. Louis, you try to bank as many points as possible before Thiago leaves, because you'll have that transition of trying to find the next unicorn, bring him in, have him integrate, that kind of stuff. So yeah, so you got another couple of months up until Leagues Cup, I guess, and then you'll figure out what's going to go on there. Elsewhere in the West, before we come back East, San Jose and Toronto, once again, if you wanted something to kind of maybe put you to sleep,
you start chamomile tea match of the night.
you start your day with chamomile tea match of the afternoon with Portland and LA, just to kind of chill your way into the evening. And then, San Jose and Toronto, I would have thought that San Jose would have jumped on Toronto, but I guess, Big Shot Bob is just trying to get points on the road, and it's like, okay, I'll get out of here with a point and then I'll go home.
I mean, points in consecutive matches for them, right? Four in their last two matches. So
yeah. And Houston beating NYC.
Yeah.
LAFC, I guess Denny Bouanga is going to sit there and say, 13-hour plane flights, man. That's all. That's all you got to do. It's all good. You come in.
Why did he need a translator, by the way? And why did it have to be Maxime Crépeau?
I don't know.
Yeah, I was in one of his, I forgot all the matches kind of put together, but I was in a Zoom press conference with him earlier, and his English was fine. I read the story. It's like said through his translator, Maxime Crépeau. And they have a French translator as well. Like, so I don't know.
Well, maybe. Well,
he wanted something to do.
I was going to say, Crepeau's got to earn his paycheck somehow, man.
You're right.
And so while he's recovering, it's like, hey, Max, we kind of need.
But listen, that's it. You know, I love that story, because I think it speaks to how much he cares about this team. And I think if you're a coach or one of those players in the locker room, like, you know, his, just like we were talking about the cha-ching level for Almada's transfer fee on that goal. I think him coming back and scoring that goal, his respect factor rises significantly, because that's not easy, right? A 13-hour flight from Turkey. You arrive within an hour of kickoff. You know, you could have easily just been up in the suites chomping on popcorn, right? But he was down helping his team, and obviously, you know, scores a pretty incredible goal. You know, Megan the defender, Megan the keeper, and he gets the winner. But going back for a second to Houston, just to toot my own self-promotion, had a great conversation with Daniel Starris, and that's a story on osdbsports.com.
Excellent plugs. They're nicely done.
Yeah. And, you know, and listen, it was interesting because I said to, you know, I was asking him just about, you know, his career, and he's not the flashiest guy, obviously, right? But he's had this solid career, and he's been through, I think Ben Olsen now is his eighth coach in eight seasons in the league. If I can go back, let me think. So it started with Bruce in L.A.
Got it.
And then Kurt Anolfo.
Mm-hmm.
Dom Kinnear.
Mm-hmm.
Scalotto.
I was gonna say, yeah, GBS was four.
Yep. Vanny.
Five.
Paolo Nagamura.
Six.
Olsen, and then for like a few minutes, Kenny Bundy. I think I missed somebody in that somewhere. With LA. I don't know, did I?
I think you got them.
LA coach. I think I got them all. So maybe it was seven, but seven full-time coaches in his eight seasons. But he's just been Mr. Consistent. And I think in this stretch right now, it's been interesting because, like, look, he's a center back, obviously, right, by trade, and that's what he's done. And here he is because of need and injury. Like, he's moved over to play right back. And look, he's not the guy to get up and down the line, right? Like, he's not going to go blazing speed down the line and get a goal. But he's kind of locked it down a little bit on that right side. And since that move, and it's funny, he said in preseason they tried it out and they got a clean sheet. I think it was 2-0 over Dallas. His first game this year was Austin, also 2-0. And now the second match he's at right back is 1-0 over NYCFC. So maybe they caught lightning in a bottle there with Daniel Starris. But it was a fun story kind of going through his career arc. By the way, this guy makes his debut for his hometown LA Galaxy, home against DC United, and he scores a goal as well. I mean, like, talk about ticking all the boxes off right away. and then he went on, you know, he talked about his career and the other highlights and just, you know, he came into the league later. He wasn't one of those, you know, guys coming up through the academy as a teenager. He had to play upwards of 100 games on the lower levels, including for Los Dos and the Wilmington Hammerheads. And,
there you go.
Yeah, it's a fun read, I thought, at least. So
at OSDB Sports and MLSsoccer.com's Dylan Butler hanging out with us for another couple of minutes. LA, you mentioned LAG, so let's stick with them for a minute. Yeah, and, you know, everybody's like last time out, obviously you still – Chicharito, you still don't have him. You didn't have the Bishop. Jovalich was on international duty. You didn't have Douglas Costa. A lot of folks are saying, okay, yeah, so what? not much of a loss there.
But unfortunately, have Ricky Pooch on an island.
Yeah. Right?
Like, this poor guy.
And that makes everybody, you know, collapse on Ricky Pooch. And it's like, yeah, okay, try to create their pal because you ain't got no support. And I mean, right now, LAG, it's just you shake your head and it's like you're waiting for the turnaround to happen with LAG. And right now they're 12th and it ain't good right now.
No, it's not. And I think and I think further compounding it for them is a realization that they can't get any significant business done in the summer window. Right.
Yeah, so that's true.
You're not improving the team then, not at least in a big way like you did by bringing Ricky in. So you've got to get your business done in the next couple of weeks. So
everything points to, because you were talking about that one team that we don't think was going to you know, be a part of the playoff discussion. I think by default it might be LAG because of the injuries early, not being able to do any of the transfer stuff. And you know, you've got a front office that's hamstrung because of transgressions, and you've got the team on the pitch hamstrung because of injuries and the transgressions that happened off the pitch. It's literally
hamstrung, right?
Yeah,
exactly what his yes.
Yeah, yeah. And see, you're right there with it. You're like,
and the funny thing too with that is, and it's, you know, that's what hamstring injuries are. And I think especially when you're maybe over 30, like a Chicharito is, you know, like they were saying, well, he'll, you know, it's probably a couple of weeks. He'll be out. He'll be back for the, you know, I think it was Dallas, and you know, it's been a lot more time than that. So he's desperately needed to get back. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the magic formula is there for LA, but you're right. I mean, when you see a St. Louis accumulate the points in a Seattle and an LAFC, mm-hmm. that's already three teams, right? Like that, you're kind of putting that little X next to as clinched. So, yep. Yeah, it's getting late early for teams like that.
Getting late early. I like that. Bart Keeler from the Soccer for US POD gets to come on to discuss women's national team in his 10:30 normal slot. So coming up in a couple of minutes. When you look at the Eastern Conference, I mean, right now, Montreal's in a world of hurt. They're transitioning, obviously, with Losada. Charlotte below the playoff bar. Teams we expected kind of below the playoff bar, the ones below the playoff bar. Philadelphia, though, right now, games played, they've only got 6 points in their first five matches. And they're an interesting look right now because of where they are struggling in that 8-9 right now.
Yeah, and, you know, credit to Jim Curtin, too. I don't think he didn't use the, you know, we're missing 37 guys for international duty as an excuse, because the other team that just beat you were missing guys, too, in Orlando. So, you know, they lose at home. They lost that crazy one up in Montreal the week before. So, yeah, I think it's a time, and I think you've got good leadership there, especially with Bedoya. You know, I think it's time where, you know, a little kick in the pants and a look in the mirror, and you know what are we doing? Because it's funny, because they've been the team that I think they're similar to me in their mentality as a Red Bull, mm-hmm. where they're best as that team that has that chip to say nobody believes in us, and you know, we're going to prove everybody wrong, and everybody thinks, you know, we're the underdogs. But it's a little bit more difficult for you as the leaders, right? As a team that a lot of people are picking to win the cup and win the shield and maybe have a chance to win the Champions League. And it's you can't have that same chip on your shoulder as the favorite. So I think they're maybe struggling a little bit about, you know, having that role this year, one that's completely different than they've had before, right? Because there's always been the team they've been trying to punch up to get, right? Whether it was NYCFC, Atlanta, Red Bulls. I mean, you know, they've lived a charmed life as that team that nobody believes in, right? That's the Philly sort of mantra, isn't it? For pretty much every sport.
No one's believed in us.
Right. Everybody hates us.
Well, it's probably true.
Yeah.
This weekend, you've got Atlanta United hosting Red Bulls. You've got LA hosting Seattle, LAG.
Still haven't beaten Red Bull.
Yeah. You've got Purple Team hosting Nashville, Philadelphia hosting Sporting. You've got Dallas hosting Portland, St. Louis City chasing six in a row. They probably should get it against Minnesota. And part of the Canadian Classique with Vancouver and Montreal. What are you staring at?
I'm staring at no early game. So yes. that should mean fireworks, right? Like throughout the night. Approved. We don't have that dud to start the match week.
So. There'll be no goalless draw for you, sir.
All right, there could be, but not certainly not from the early kickoff. That is for sure.
All right, time for the promo. What are you doing with you mentioned the profile at OSDB. What else is going on?
Yeah, that was last week on Steris. Got some back on lacrosse today. I had a game last night, got a game today. Massapequa Chaminade. Last night was Cold Spring Harbor Farmingdale. So I got my, actually I have it right next to me. I can show you.
Oh, there's the board.
Yeah.
There's the board. All right.
That's just one side of it. Hang on. I got to go inside here too.
There we go. Flip it over on offense real quick. Offense to offense. Flip it over.
Yeah. Can you see the offense right there?
Yep. Right there. Yep. Absolutely. Cause what I do is I take two pieces of paper and I do a face to face. And then when they're on offense, I flip it over.
Okay.
Offense to offense and flip it over like that. But Dylan underscore Butler, he's got lacrosse. He's got OSDB Sports. He's got MLSsoccer.com. Dylan, we'll catch up with you next week, my friend.
All right, buddy.